Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid, Jesus tells the disciples. So just a note, I don't normally preach here, but there are times where I feel it's appropriate. It tends to be times where I sense a pastoral need, a pastoral reason to do this, and it's better to be, I think, on the floor than sort of proclaiming from on high, as is much more comfortable for me to do. So that is why I'm here, because here is the thing. I had a fantastic sermon ready to go this week. I really did. You can talk to Ruth. I talked to her a little bit about it on Thursday. I had a good sermon ready to go. It was going to be fun. I was excited to preach it. It was about Peter, obviously, because that's who the gospel's about today, and his failure to walk on water, or his attempt and then his failure to walk on water. And what I was excited about, I'm going to give you the Cliff's Notes, just if you want to chat about this, we can. Because I worked on it, I can't just let it go to waste, right? So it was about Peter and his failure to walk on water. And the idea struck me that for disciples, for followers of the crucified and risen Jesus, failure is not the worst that can happen. He could have stayed in the boat. Because even his failure draws him into the safe and loving arms of his Lord. And so that impressed me, and I got it ready. I had some funny stories that I was going to share and make you laugh, and you'd leave feeling really good, and that was the plan. And then I started watching the news on Friday and Saturday, and that could no longer be the plan for me. I fought the Holy Spirit on this as much as I could. I really tried to put the Holy Spirit off a couple of times, and the Holy Spirit was insistent that I need to talk about what I saw on my television in coming out of Charlottesville, Virginia, because this is what I saw. This is what you saw if you were watching the news and paying attention. People parading around in the cause of white supremacy and in the cause of racism. This is why they were marching around. And here's the part that really caught me off guard. They were doing this, for the most part, many of them, proclaiming that they were doing so in the name of Jesus. I couldn't handle that. They were proclaiming to espouse these evil and wicked ideologies in the name of Jesus. And there is no place for that. That makes no sense to the disciple of Jesus. What does St. Paul tell us today in the letter to the Romans? In Jesus Christ, there is no longer any Jew or Greek. Essentially, St. Paul says, all of the ways that we divide ourselves up, all of the walls that we try to build up between us of race or class or political party, whatever the artificial wall is, those crumble at the feet of the risen Lord. That is what St. Paul says to us. Ideologies that say that this group of people is somehow superior to that group of people cannot work. They cannot square with who we are as Christians. They cannot square with who we are as the baptized. Baptism. That's what I started thinking about. Baptism. Baptism's a mystery. Now, in the Christian tradition, when we talk about mystery, do not think Sherlock Holmes. That is not what a mystery is for Christians. It's not a problem that we just have to just look around enough, we're going to solve it. Mystery in the Christian tradition is instead something of infinite beauty, something of infinite glory that we can never plumb the whole depths of. So that's what I mean when I say baptism is a mystery. It is something that we are never going to get all the way to the bottom, even though we could explore it all our lives. But part of that mystery of baptism, part of what's going on, is that in baptism, we are being initiated into the life of the disciple of Jesus Christ. That is part of what is going on in baptism. So think of baptism right now. Think of a baptism. Think of a particular baptism. I bet I can describe it for you. It took place on a Sunday morning in a beautiful place of worship like this. There were gowns involved, maybe. They were passed down from generation to generation. And I had one friend who had about six generations of names etched on the baptismal gown. It's beautiful, very elegant. There was cake afterward, I hope. For my kids, there was cake afterward. And it was a joyous celebration. It was calm. involve beautiful music and glorious architecture and all the stuff that goes with the church. That's fine. But I started thinking about Peter's walk on water as a sort of baptism. It's an interesting thing. We don't get baptism stories of the disciples in the Gospels. It's a really curious thing when you think about it. All these people following Jesus, we don't know anything about their baptism. So sometimes I like to look at stories like this and imagine them as a baptismal story, a baptismal moment. And I think that as beautiful and lovely as the baptisms that I've been a part of and witnessed and the baptisms of my children and the ones that you, as great as those are, something about Peter's plunge into the depths has a lot more to do with what is actually going on in baptism in some ways. Because Peter is thrown right into the middle of an absolute mess. He is thrown into the middle of terrifying winds and waves that he can't do anything about. But he is thrown there in the loving arms of Jesus. That is what baptism is, friends. It is us being thrown into the middle of following Jesus, in the middle of the fullness of human experience, with all of its glories and beauties and brokenness, and we are thrown there in the loving arms of Jesus. That is what it means to be baptized. There are a number of ways that churches interact with sort of social and political realities. Most of them, I think, kind of unhealthy. One is I've seen churches become little more than religious wings of sort of political parties. Well, I don't have any interest in that. One is that churches ignore political and social realities, just kind of plug their ears and pretend like there's no world out there. We're going to focus on the spiritual, thank you very much, as though all of life isn't spiritual. The other way is that maybe they actually sort of wink and nod when they see these evils around us. They give affirmation to those kinds of things. Well, none of those square with what I believe the church should be doing. Instead, what I think we should be doing is grasping onto our identity as the baptized, grasping onto what it means to be those who are called into the rough and tumble of the waves of this world, not on our own power, not because we've got it all together, not because we are good enough, but because we are in the loving arms of Jesus the whole time. That is what gives the Christian courage to face the realities of our day. I want to read something. I don't quote often in sermons, but I'm actually going to quote at length because this is good stuff. And this is by Archbishop Rowan Williams, who is the former Archbishop of Canterbury. He's a lot smarter than I am. But he talks about this, most people are, but he talks about this reality of baptism. And so he's talking about the being plunged into the depths of human experience. He says, if all this is correct, baptism does not confer on us a status that marks us off from everybody else. To be able to say I'm baptized is not to claim an extra privilege that keeps you separate from and superior to the rest of the human race, but to claim a new level of solidarity with other people. It is to accept that to be a Christian is to be affected, you might say even contaminated, by the mess of humanity. This is very paradoxical. Baptism is a ceremony in which we are washed, cleansed, and recreated. It is also a ceremony in which we are pushed into the middle of a human situation that may hurt us and that will not leave us untouched or unsullied. In the gathering of the baptized, it's one way of describing what we do at church every Sunday. The gathering of the baptized, therefore, is not a convocation of those who are privileged, elite, and superior and separate, but of those who have accepted what it means to be in the heart of a needy, contaminated world. To put it another way, you don't go down into the waters of the Jordan without getting a little muddy. We, as the baptized, are called to get a little muddy in the mess of this world, knowing that we are in the loving arms of Jesus as we do it. It is not our own power that gives us that. It is the grace and power of Jesus. So I want to do something this morning. I'm going to depart from the script, which is always dangerous in Episcopal church. I'm going to depart from the script, And I ask you to take your prayer books, turn to page 292 in the prayer book. As you get there, I ask you to stand and join with me together as we renew the promises and vows we make at baptism. It's 292. Through the Paschal mystery, dear friends, we are buried with Christ by baptism into his death and raised with him to newness of life. I call upon you, therefore, now that we are reminded that we are to be with Jesus in the rough and tumble of the world around us, I call upon you to renew the solemn promises and vows of holy baptism, by which we once renounced Satan and all his works and promised to serve God faithfully in his holy Catholic Church. Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and renew your commitment to Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
Who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sins, keep us in eternal life by his grace, in Christ Jesus our Lord.